Hey, good morning, everyone. It is a delightful 85 degrees here at the studios of Jim Hinckley's America in Kingman, Arizona, within spitting distance of legendary Route 66. It's going to be a hot one. Even by our standards here, it's a little excessive this last few days. We hit 110 in Kingman, which is kind of a rarity. And of course, down on the river country, you can expect temperatures to be a lot hotter, 120 degrees plus, Havasu, Bullhead City, Needles down in that country. I often joke about this, but the river country come summer is in hell. But if you squint real hard, you can see it from there. Wanted to get things started a little bit early this morning, just a couple minutes, get some things out of the way. A little bit of the business of Jim Hinckley's America. Wanted to give a shout out to our good friends at the Wagon Wheel Motel in Cuba, Missouri. This is not only the oldest continuously operated motel on Route 66. Connie Eccles is a proprietor that just takes great pride and loves to meet with the people on the road there. And it's really more of a destination than a motel. Really, really quite spectacular. And, of course, speaking of motels, we got to give a shout-out to our good friends at the Cactus Inn Motel in McLean, Texas. This little gym dates back to the 1950s, and McLean is a little bit war at the heel. But, boy, it's a town well worth exploring. Where else are you going to find a barbed wire museum? It's always kind of the most amazing thing about the Barbed Wire Museum. It's actually interesting. It's fascinating. The other bonus for the Cactus Inn Motel in McLean, you have the wonderful Red River Steakhouse right next door. And then you have downtown the Tap Room. Really, really kind of a neat little experience. And there's a cafe across the street that escapes my memory here. And since we're on the subject of motels, of course, we've got to talk about the Roadrunner Lodge in Tucumcari, New Mexico. It opened, David Brenner has done a tremendous job. This was an abandoned property just a few years ago. And David Brenner has done an amazing job recreating a 1964 type time capsule, but with the modern amenities that you've come to expect. And it's just fantastic. I see our guest is with us, Peter Corbett. We're going to have him here just in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about Arizona. Thought we'd like to say get a little bit of the business out of the way first. Tucumcari, by the way, you don't want to just make this an overnight destination. Tucumcari is one of those places you definitely want to spend some time. Check out the Mesa Lands Community College Dinosaur Museum. And try to show up for their events down at, hosted by Tucumcari Main Street down at the depot downtown. You won't be disappointed. Well, before we get started with our regular program this morning, we've got a little bit of music here from Joel, the boys, the road crew. We'll set the tone for road trips.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride, Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Good morning, Peter. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Jim? It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to visit since, I think, before the apocalypse.
Yes. Yes, that's too bad. I've been up in Kingman a few times since then, but I never ran into you.
I'll have to make sure you got my phone number. Give me a holler and, well, I'll buy the next beer or coffee and we can do
something. Very good. Seems like a lot's going on in Kingman, making some improvements there, and I got to get up there and see some of that.
Yeah, we've done some great things. We've got, I don't know if you've seen the trail system. We actually have two urban trail systems here now, out by Fort Beale, the Serbet Foothills Recreation Area. There's probably 30, 40, 50 miles of trails. And the White Cliffs Wagon Road area, they put extensive trail systems. You can actually go from the golf course at the top, on the hilltop, all the way to downtown Kingman through the canyons now, along the old Taggart Wagon Road and the Stockton Hill Wagon Road. So Nice trail system. And, you know, yesterday we were corresponding with Messenger, talking about tech issues. I'm always admiring younger folks, but I realize how old I am when I start trying to deal with this technology stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. I always compare it to learning a second language that we've had to ramp our tech skills up over the years. And I feel pretty good for being able to do what I can do at my age, but nothing like the young folks with their abilities on social media and the such.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, sometimes I look at things and I feel like I came in the middle of a French movie with Japanese subtitles dubbed in Russian. And the stress comes from knowing there's going to be a test tomorrow. Right. Peter, you've had a really diverse career, but it's your focus on Arizona travel and the people you meet along the way that really intrigues me. And boy, you do such a good job of inspiring road trips by telling people where to go. I'm really a fan. You've been in Arizona since the 70s, but how long have you been doing the travel focused?
Well, I'd say mostly over about the last decade, I really started picking it up. And then, of course, I retired from the Arizona Republic in 2015, and that allowed me some time to travel more in Arizona, to start taking pictures all over the small towns and the road ruins, things like that, which really fascinate me. And I did come to Arizona in 1973, across the Hoover Dam and right through Kingman, Arizona, the Grand Canyon, and fell in love. Saw there was a university in Flagstaff, and after I went back to Ohio, set my eyes on moving to Arizona in 74. So it's been 50 years since my first time in Arizona. And speaking of some of those individuals, I was thinking about Elmer Graves, who was a guy who I met in Kingman and had an old trails garage, and he passed 3 years ago, I believe. And just one of those people that you meet along the road that are just really special. Somebody like Angel Delgadillo and Seligman, those folks are just, it's so wonderful to connect to the past through those people.
It is. Angel, they're doing a special exhibit, interactive exhibit they're going to unveil at the Powerhouse. I think it's the 27th of this month they're going to introduce. He's a very inspirational fellow, to say the very least. He's somebody that you can emulate with pride. He's just a great guy. And Elmer was a colorful character. We've lost a few of those. Roy Dutton passed away a few years ago. I don't know if you had the privilege of meeting Roy. He was the D in Mr. D's Route 66 Diner. But
I didn't get to meet him, but I did read about him several times.
He started out here in Arizona working for his uncle in Gold Road, who had a garage, and he operated the tow trucks in the 30s over Sitgreaves Pass.
And I bet that was a lucrative business.
Boy, yes. I follow your exploits, and some of the things you get into, like your recent trip with a meteorologist. Find things like that fascinating. What prompted that adventure?
I don't know. We were just talking about just the extremes in Arizona from 118 here in Phoenix, perhaps today or tomorrow. And then, but you just go north, you go up about 6,000-7,000 feet, and you can be in a very comfortable climate. And we did that on Thursday of this week. Took some temperatures on the way up, but the thing was is that as the sun's coming up, even as you're going north, the temperatures are rising. But the ultimate was that we got to, and I called it the hell to hill tour, because we went up to the San Francisco Peaks, took the ski lift to the top of Agassiz Peak, where it was a comfortable 62 degrees, and we sat in Adirondack chairs and stared out across the forested northern Arizona area, and it was just really pleasant. And then, of course, we had to head back, and by the time we got back to Phoenix, it was 112 degrees, so we made the mistake of going back home.
You mentioned, Ohio. I lived in Michigan and, well, Montana, Minnesota, Wisconsin, those places for some years. And the thing I enjoy about Arizona is exactly that. Whatever your season, you can adjust it with a short drive.
Exactly. And it works the other way around for the winter for people in northern Arizona. If they get tired of the snow and the constant winds in some parts of the year, they just head down 2 hours to Phoenix and take in a Cactus League baseball game, and or even in the fall league baseball.
Have you been up in the what they call the Strip Country much lately?
The Arizona Strip north of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, northern Mojave County.
Yeah, I haven't been up there, and of course, always enjoy that. The ride to the north rim is very special, and down to through those meadows, those mountain meadows on the way down, and always love to stop at the Jacob Lake Inn, get some cookies, and just enjoy the ambience of that place.
They're really starting to open up the Strip Country. It's been very closed. It's very remote, but they're starting to really open that up for tourism. And there's some just beautiful places there. You mentioned that Jacobs Lake Lodge. One of my favorites was over at Hannigan's Meadows.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say south of Alpine there. That's one of my favorite stops.
Have you ever stayed there? Because I looked at it, and I've been interested in staying there. It looks pretty rustic. It's not Scottsdale, that's for sure.
No, I have never stayed there. I used to drive back and forth. I was working in Morenci, and I used to run back and forth to Springerville, and usually stop in there for something to eat was about it.
Yeah. I stayed up there. We did the Coronado Trail, US 191, of course, which was the Devil's Highway. US 666, and stayed at a place called Tall Wee Wee Lodge, which is a real gem up there near Alpine. And I was actually talking to my doctor, and he's a sports car guy, and he says he had a group of guys that go up to Alpine. They take 180 southeast into New Mexico and drive south, and then come back around on State Route 78 in Arizona, and then back up the Coronado Trail, which I think is probably about a 160-mile loop or so, but that's an incredible drive on 191, and I imagine that 180 in New Mexico is a pretty nice drive too.
Yeah, 180 down to Silver City, and then 78 through Mule Creek and down to Clifton Morenci is beautiful. That Silver City, New Mexico country is outstanding. It's just outstanding. But yeah, you mentioned the Toro Weep lodge there near Alpine.
Yeah.
Tal Wee Wee, I'm sorry.
Tal Wee Wee, yeah.
Every time I've stayed there, I'm an early riser, but I end up getting up earlier than anticipated because of the elk. Make some tremendous noises there sometimes.
Oh, they're bugling, the elk are bugling in the meadow there.
Yes.
Did you know that there was a Tal Wee Wee resort or of some kind down in the Phoenix area? I think it might have been out in the West Valley, and they took their cattle up to the north in the summer, and that's how Tal Wee Wee Lodge got started up there.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, I think I wrote about that. I actually have an All the Road Facebook page that has a lot of those kinds of stories that kind of get a little more in depth than what I'm telling on my On the Road blog. So I hope your listeners might check that out. There's some really good stories there.
And your blog, I will have the link up on my website and, of course, on Facebook today. But I really enjoy your blog a lot. That is a lot of road trip inspiration.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I for a brief time after I retired from the Republic, I worked at Arizona Department of Transportation in the Traffic Operations Center. We had cameras all over the state and tracking traffic on those roads. But it inspired me to actually, I've covered just about every road in a state and federal road in Arizona, at least part of them. There's a few in the White Mountains that I haven't made any connection with, but it's a big state, and that's a lot of roads over miles over the years in the 50 years I've been here.
It's a really diverse state, to say the very least, and not just landscapes, the cultures and the people you meet from all over the world that have, God, they stake their lives and their futures here in Arizona.
Yeah, we all know so many people that visit Arizona. Maybe it's the Grand Canyon or it's the Phoenix area in the wintertime, and they invariably come back to live. And that's why I came when I moved here in 1974. There was about 2 million plus people. Now we're up to 7.2 million. So a lot of those people have moved to Arizona, and we all understand why, right, Jim?
We do. I'm an old desert rat. I'm one of the dry roasted nuts, but I avoid Phoenix and the river country come summer. You can get too much of a good thing. That gets a little too warm for my taste down
there. Oh, God, yes. This is really, this isn't all that out of the ordinary, but I guess we're getting into the 18 days of over 110, and that would break a record early this week or middle of this week. We'll break that record. But you're right. It's pretty intolerable. It's great to get out. The people who can get up to Alpine area, or those are the coolest areas, Greer and those kinds of things, or head to the coast. But we do venture out to do the lower Salt River and kayak down that. And it's hot, but once you're on the water, it's really pretty comfortable. It's just like getting the boat ready and rigging the boat, and then stopping at the end where you just fry in the parking lot, getting your living stuff out.
Have you ever kayaked the Colorado below Hoover Dam?
No, but I'd like to try that area up around the Needles. That sounds like, I know a lot of people do it, kayak up there. We just haven't explored that far away from home.
Yeah, you can put in at the Topok Resort is a good place to start for exploring the Needles by kayak. And below Hoover Dam is really beautiful. There's some hot springs. There's a lot of remnants from when they were constructing the dam. And there's a couple of interesting places like Ringbolt Rapids. It's a flat shelf where they had a steam-powered winch, and the ringbolts are still in the rock where they run cable through to pull steamboats over the rapids.
Real
interesting area. I made the mistake of kayaking that below Hoover Dam one year when I was younger, in the middle of the summer. Very, very bad idea. And I did it in a fiberglass kayak, not realizing I was allergic to fiberglass.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was not a good thing.
So with the heat and the fiberglass, you were really uncomfortable afterwards.
It wasn't a pretty picture.
Hey, speaking of that, there is a great trip also below Glen Canyon Dam. You can go to Lee's Ferry and have an outfitter take you upstream with your kayak, or you can rent a kayak from them all the way up to the dam or areas shy of that. I think it's about a dozen or 15 miles, and you can go up as far as you want. There are actually some camping spots along there. It's flat water with high cliffs of Lower Glen Canyon Dam. It's just a beautiful float. You go past Horseshoe Bend, and which is kind of interesting because when you're above it, you can see the big curve. But when you're down on the river, it doesn't feel like that big of a curve. So really nice trip. I really recommend that.
Boy, I tell you, there's so many great places. I have had an opportunity to explore down around Tombstone in Bisbee a few years ago, little town of Fairbank, and some of that country down there. I was at the San Pedro River.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a little place of Charleston right outside of Tombstone as well. There's not much left of what was a little mining town. And used to have a rail. They used to rail have a railroad spur that went to Contention. And if you've ever seen the movie 310 to Yuma, that's where that's supposed to be set.
Oh, really?
I
wasn't aware of that.
There's not much left. Contention City was kind of near St. David. And I was just down in Tombstone a couple weeks ago. They had a 30th anniversary celebration of the making of the movie Tombstone with Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer. So they had a couple hundred people turn out for that, even people from as far away as Brazil and Europe. And they, of course, that movie, it actually plays, they put it on the TVs in like the Crystal Palace, and it's on a loop there. They show the movie without the sound. It's a fun town. I kind of had I thought it was a little bit touristy and kind of hokey, but as it's kind of grown on me over the years, I stopped there on the way to Bisbee a lot. And, it's definitely worth a visit.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's a little touristy. It's like Oatman in the sense that, but if it wasn't for tourists, well, the place would be like Contention or Charleston. There wouldn't be anything left.
That's right. Yeah.
If it wasn't for tourists. And it is a little hokey. My kind of a short personal story. My wife's family is from Tombstone. Her father was actually born in Tombstone. And his grandfather was the sheriff out of Cochise County, out of Tombstone. His picture's on the courthouse wall there. And they owned a hotel there in Tombstone, burned sometime in the early 40s. And that's why they ended up in Kingman.
Yeah. Well, it had to be a tough time. I mean, the mines did play it out pretty fast there, and they had water flood the mines, and they couldn't keep up pumping the water out. It's kind of crazy that a place like Arizona, water is what kills your enterprise. But so after that, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot going on. And they finally, I think around 1929, they started El Dorado days, and they started focusing on tourism. And fortunately that, you know, helped save all those buildings. And it just kept Tombstone vital over the years. And you mentioned the courthouse, that's the state historic park there. And that's one of my favorite stops. I've gone through a couple times, and there's a recreated gallows there, and they hung several men there on the same day after because of the Bisbee massacre, but that's a whole other story.
I really enjoy Bisbee's another place that I just can't get enough of. I just enjoy Bisbee immensely.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Bisbee, especially this time of year. It's near a mile high. There's some great old hotels there, the Copper Queen, obviously, but also the Grand Hotel, El Dorado, just many, many little places to stay. And the Cafe Roca is really a delicious place to eat. And Bisbee Brewery, St. Elmo, one of the oldest bars in Arizona, one of the diviest dives in Arizona, but really fun place.
You mentioned the Tombstone Courthouse. Have you explored the Navajo County Courthouse up in Holbrook?
Yes. I toured that many years ago, and I love the old jail they have.
Yes.
It's just incredible with the graffiti from some of the prisoners that stayed there. It's really remarkable. I mean, it's just like you realize what a hellhole those little jails were. And you've got one in Kingman. That one looks pretty interesting, too.
Well, it's interesting you should mention that. I just worked with Kingman Main Street, something I got to show you when you come up. We developed a narrated, self-guided historic district walking tour. And that jail is one of the last freestanding territorial era jails. And it's been used for storage. They were going to tear it down, and we managed to save it. They're going to open it for tours fairly soon.
Oh, that would be great.
But what I found out was the jail in Holbrook, they built it kind of as a unit, and they brought it out on the rail, the Pauley Jail Company, and they set it in the basement and built the courthouse around it. The Kingman Jail is the same thing. The interior, the jail cells themselves, was built by the Pauley Jail Company. And my pa always told me it's better to fill your head with useless knowledge than no knowledge at all. But I was really surprised when I was doing the research for this narrated tour that the Pauley Jail Company is still in business. It's still owned by the same family, and they've been building jails since 1856.
Well, there's always always a good business. There's plenty of criminals around to lock up.
Yeah, that jail in Holbrook, though, is so fascinating. Like, say, the graffiti and the artwork.
Yeah. Well, one of the great stories about the courthouse there in Holbrook is about when they had an execution scheduled, and they sent out engraved invitations, and somehow the Associated Press picked up on it, and the story went national. And the president, I think it was McKinley.
Yes.
He called it off. He thought it was so macabre and inappropriate to have an invitation to this execution. So they had to reschedule it and tone down the invitation and all that.
Yeah, that was quite a deal. Sheriff Frank Watron received a personal reprimand from President William McKinley over that. The invitation was sent out. And one of the things that made it so horrendous, as I understand, it was not only a personalized invitation, they also sent it home with some of the school children to the school. And it read, "George Smiley, murderer, his soul be swung into eternity on December 8, 1899 at 2 o'clock p.m. The latest improved methods of scientific strangulation will be employed, and everything possible will be done to make the surroundings cheerful and the execution a success."
Jim, have you got that memorized? That's pretty good. Wow.
I've got all that. I've got it right here on my desk. I framed that. I just found that absolutely. I just found that amazing.
Yeah. The other great story about Holbrook, and it's probably, even more notable than the OK Corral, was the shootout with the sheriff, Commodore Perry Owens, takes on these guys in a shootout. He's going to issue a warrant for these horse rustlers and shoots a couple of them, kills three, I think, and injured one. And they're buried there in the Holbrook Cemetery. And the house where that happened is still there. And it doesn't look, it's like a senior home or something like that. But that's such a great story. And just the courage of the sheriff by himself going to this house and shooting it out with the three bad guys, it's just an amazing story.
Oh, yeah, that's the Blevins house. And there's a plaque out front. It's still there. There's a couple of places in Holbrook, but I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, but it's only recently I discovered that there's another connection on Route 66 to Commodore Perry Owens. Next in Seligman, next to the grocery store behind the Black Cat Lounge, is the last house that Commodore Perry Owens owned and where he passed away. He owned a saloon and a business there in Seligman for a while.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I always wondered where that house was. So next time I'm in Seligman, I'm going to look that house up. I suspect it's not marked in any way.
It's marked now. They put up a cutout of Commodore Perry Owens and a little plaque. The one part I have trouble with, you won't miss the house. They painted it blue, the darkest shade of blue. It looks like a giant bruise.
Oh, boy.
But Mr. Owens. There's another place there in Holbrook that I find interesting. Of course, the Bucket of Blood Saloon.
Yes. That needs to be restored and saved before it falls down.
A few years ago, a fellow turned me on to the Arizona Rancho, the Arizona Hotel.
Oh, yes.
And that's another one that needs to be saved in Holbrook.
Yes. The Taylor family owned that and still does, I believe. Henry Taylor is behind the rescuing of the Weatherford Hotel in Flagstaff. They still own the flat. They restored that Weatherford, and that family still owns the Rancho in Holbrook.
I understand that may be one of the oldest buildings in Holbrook.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. There's a couple of one of my favorite buildings in Holbrook is an old Whiting Brothers gas station that's kind of overgrown with weeds, kind of back off the highway on the mesa up above the old, regular old town of Holbrook, and it's fallen down. You know, I always fantasize about buying some wreck like that and restoring it, but my funds are just not going to be able to cover that.
Well, there's another part of this too, is I've been working on a 51 Chevy truck. I'm not 20 anymore. I've discovered that, and I might be getting a little old for those kind of big projects.
You know, while we were talking about jails, it came into my mind about the Globe Jail, and right near the courthouse in Globe. And they've done some of these ghost cable shows have visited there to get, you know, take a tour on a Friday or Saturday night. And I'm not much of a believer in the ghost stories, but what the heck, you know, it's some people really enjoy that. And that's a really cool looking building. I'd like to, I think they offer tours occasionally there too. So
the supernatural experience seems to be directly related to how much mezcal you drank beforehand. But you know, another jail that's really interesting is the old jail in Clifton.
Oh, it's kind of in a cave or something.
They literally cut into the wall, and there's a series of steps that go down. I don't know if they still do it. What they used to do is you would go to the police station in Clifton, and you would sign, and they would give you the keys. And it's really interesting. It's a smooth rock wall near the depot, and there's like four or five steps down. They cut a shaft. And they just cut four or five jail cells into the walls with a drill steel through the ceiling for ventilation and just put bars up. Nobody's getting out. The legend is the first people to be incarcerated were the miners that they employed to dig the jail. They used the money to get intoxicated and create a public disturbance.
So they had to try out their handiwork there. And
Peter, I enjoy, we do have to get together and visit a bit. I've got a lot to show you here in Kingman, and obviously we've got a lot more stories to share. What is your website address?
Yeah, it's ontheroadarizona.com. On the Road Arizona Facebook page too.
We'll get that. We'll have that link up on, before the day is over.
Follow me on Twitter at Peter Corbett 1. That's where I'm most active and on a daily basis.
Are you available for public speaking engagements?
Sure. Do a little bit of that.
Very good. Just in case, because I know some folks that are always asking for somebody to come and beat their gums and talk about Arizona history. So I'll make sure that gets out as well. Peter, thank you so much for taking your time this morning and visiting. The time went awful fast. I enjoyed this. Does anybody have any questions for us? We've got some folks here from South Carolina and Michigan and, a few other places, it looks like. But Maggie May in East Lansing said it was very good stories this morning. Glad you enjoyed it. I joke about this a lot, but the whole reason I started doing this Jim Hinckley's America was people said I had a gift for telling people where to go. And I love sharing America's story. And people like you that share these stories and inspire these road trips I just find fascinating.
Yeah, I enjoy that too. Stories about old Arizona are just so fascinating to me because it's so immediate. It's only been 70-100 years, and there's so much great history from that era as Arizona developed from mining to modern Arizona. It's just so fascinating to me.
I'm hoping this walking tour that we did will be a template for other communities, but I was so astounded, Peter, that some of the things that I discovered I've been walking by for 50 years. And I never knew the history. The World War I monument at the courthouse, about 30-35% of World War I memorials used that doughboy statue, but only three anywhere in the United States were dedicated to a Native American. And this is one of them.
Oh, very nice.
And I found things like the old Sportsman Saloon, speaking of dive bars, you know, downtown. Henry Lovin, the fellow who has his name above the door from 1906, he was appointed by the President of the United States to work on the state Constitution Committee. And he was Mojave County's first state senator.
Awesome. Yeah, speaking of that, it'd be really wonderful if the Beale Hotel and the Brunswick Hotel got restored. Those are such interesting historic properties.
The Beale is a point of contention. It's still the way it is. The elderly owner just passed away a few weeks ago. The Brunswick has been a hit and miss restoration project, but the downstairs, the restaurant area has been completed, and that should be opening as Garibaldi's Restaurant here in the next, probably the next couple of weeks.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah, so we've got some good news there. Peter, thank you for doing this. I, for one, I really appreciate this. I've enjoyed it immensely. And next week, we're going to talk with Sarah Peterson here in Kingman. Talk about somebody like Angel, you know, who inspires and changes things. Sarah is an artist from Utah, moved here with her family some years ago and decided that Kingman needed a bit of culture and some healthy places to eat. So she has spearheaded all kinds of projects like a performing arts. I know Keith Kintner's involved with that. She's opened some art galleries, provides has art galleries here with lessons. She's opened a smoothie and soup bar downtown. She has spearheaded a establishment of a nonprofit organization to take on restoration of the old state theater as a performing arts center. And so it should be kind of interesting next week.
I'll have to tune in. Hey, Jim, thank you much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
You bet, guy. You take care. And
so cool.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, I want to give an update on Peter Keene, Louis Keene, while we're here. Louis has been a bit sick, but he says he's on the road to recovery. And, of course, Louis is a good friend with the interesting endeavor at the Uranus Fudge Company and General Store in Missouri. Any kind of juvenile humor you can imagine that goes with that, he has managed to, he's managed to sell everything on the hog, including the squeal. And hopefully we'll be able to talk to Louis pretty soon. Hey, my friends, until we do this again next week, you take care and, get out and travel a bit. Discover America. Take care, my friends. Adios.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Yep, next week we'll have Sarah Peterson, and then the week after that we'll be talking to Wade Bray. He has been instrumental in developing, his company has been instrumental in developing the AAA Route 66 Road Fest and getting ready for the Route 66 Centennial. He's got some pretty exciting projects in the works. And the week after that, we're going to be talking with author and historian Joe Sonderman. And I think you're going to find that really interesting. He's written a lot of books about Route 66. He is the editor for the magazine that's put out by the Missouri Route 66 Association. He's on the board of directors. And his real focus, besides Route 66, is St. Louis. He probably knows more about St. Louis than anybody I've met. So, join us for those programs. And for program schedule, check out our website, jimhinckleysamerica.com, and you'll find the full program schedules. And there's an embedded player for our published programs there. And I'm proud to say that we also have an archived player now on theb.news. And published programs, archived programs are also available on Spotify, and other platforms. Well, with the advertisements out of the way, I bid you adios, my friends. Vaya con Dios.